In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And we learn about God here. We learn that God is God the Son. We learn that He is our what? Our Creator. So those are important things to write down. And that corresponds with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, same phraseology, God created the heaven and the earth. So in this book of beginning, Romans we'll look at next, but go to John 10:10. We just alluded to this, and I said quickly, we're going quickly here because we've already looked at these the other Wednesday night. And this study is the beginning of books, the importance of setting the tone for the whole book. You should be gathering something from it right to begin with. And John chapter 1 is the number one passage in the Bible teaching that Jesus is God the Son, God in human flesh. He existed before He became Jesus. In other words, into humanity. All right? So in verse 10, we see, John 10:10, the character of Satan versus the character of our Lord. And Satan's called what in verse 10? He's called the thief. That's his personality. He's also called the beast, the Antichrist. That's the character of his being in the book of Revelation. Jesus is also called the Word of God in the book of Revelation. If you remember that, he comes back, he is the Word of God. And written on his thigh and on his vesture with the sword coming out of his mouth. Those are all imagery of the power of his person. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So Satan desires to do these things in your life. He truly is a snake, right? Amen? Truly is a snake. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. That means save us from our sins, to give us eternal life. And then they might have it more abundantly, and that more abundant life is growing in the character likeness of Christ, Galatians 5:22 and 23. They're called communicable attributes of God. In other words, we can communicate these attributes of God. Attributes are things that we attribute to be true of God. There are some ones that are non-communicable attributes of God. For instance, a non-communicable attribute of God is omnipresence. We can't be everywhere at once, but we can love wherever we are. So that's a communicable, we can communicate that, attribute, something we attribute to be true of God, to one another. You see the difference? Yes or no? Okay, great. So John 1 then teaches, the beginning there would teach that Jesus is God. Okay? Now Romans chapter 1. I'm taking a little longer than what I thought I would. But you've been... All my sermons are long, amen? They never will. They don't call me Mr. Long for nothing. All right, Romans 1, 1 through 4. Now, what are we doing? We're looking at the introduction. I'm going faster because we already looked at these a couple of weeks ago. You can get the CD if you want. These are introductions, the importance of beginning. Romans 1, 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, that means when he came into humanity, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. And here's the evidence of it. By the resurrection from the dead. That sets the tone for the whole book. God the Son resurrected from the dead. The authority, the open declaration, He is who He says He is that He resurrected from the dead. Pretty powerful. Powerful. So you're getting the idea of power here and the dynamic of God showing who He is. 2 Corinthians, we didn't look at 1 Corinthians, we looked at 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians, if you will. And you're going to pick up a theme here. So it sets the tone for the book. Remember the book of Revelation, by the way? The revelation of who? Jesus Christ. That's all you need to say about that book. It reveals Jesus and what he's going to be doing in the future, we might look at it if we have time. I want to go quick enough, but slow enough for you to get it, okay? So, let's see. Listen faster. There you go. Like when you were in algebra class and all the rest of the students were nodding their head yes, and you sat there and tried to look like you already knew what was going on, and then after the class, I didn't have a clue about all that. So just nod your head and keep moving, all right? Well, that's how my math went anyways. But anyways, let's go on. 2 Corinthians 1, 1 through 4. What would be the central idea here? Now remember, 2 Corinthians is after what? 1 Corinthians. And Kent, you're right on the night, Russ. What happened in 1 Corinthians? Hey, listen, here's what happened in 1 Corinthians. Stop being carnal when you are consecrated to God. You don't need to be carnal. You belong to God. There's no reason to be carnal. And so then he said, I might have been a little strong, you know. So then he writes the second letter to see how they received the first letter. How many of you ever said some things that maybe I said a little bit, you know, and sometimes wonder, did I say enough? Did I not say enough? I think every parent knows that one, right? But, you know, in our communications. So then he follows up with this letter, and he wants, by the way, 1 Corinthians 15, what a great passage, resurrection, right, of Christ. So, but in 2 Corinthians, after writing that letter, 2 Corinthians 1, 1 through 4, what would you think the chief thing here would be? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, and to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of his letters start that way. Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians 1, etc. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all, what? Comfort. What is the central heartbeat of this letter? Verse 4 gives it to us. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we might be better ministers, actually. That we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, how did you make it through that trial? Well, God comforted me. And therefore, you actually become a greater minister when you've taken the comforts of God. Remember what the word comfort means? It's two words actually formed into one in English. The first three letters come means to join with. And fort would mean what? Fortify. Join yourself with that which will fortify you. That's actually the original idea of comfort. Join yourself to something that will build you up. What is it? The Word of God. And other believers, and come into the house of God. And when you see that God will give you comfort and strength in your trial, then you can share this. Listen, I just made it through by the grace of God. Right? That's how we make it through. We made it through because we appropriated the grace of God. That's how we make it through trials. And apart from that, we don't do too well through the trial. And God's very gracious to us. So he is the God of all comfort. If anyone was ever used to be a comfort to you in your life, God was using them. Because that's where it came from. It came from God. He's a God of all of our comforts come from him. So again, the idea pops up there. Go to Galatians. We looked at this one. I would just write down these key words, you know. Son of God in John 1, Romans, resurrection declared powerfully by the resurrection. To be the Son of God. 2 Corinthians 1, I'd put down comfort as the thought there. Galatians 1, 1 through 5. Galatians 1, 1 through 5. And then, again, this is review, so move very quick. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So what would be the central thing there? You have grace there and this thought. This book is going to show us what? That he gave himself, verse 4, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, and that's the world system. He gave himself to deliver us from the present world system. For what reason? Verse 5. To the glory, to glorify God forever. So, it's wonderful. That's Galatians, predominantly a book called Grace. Grace, the book of grace often. Go to Ephesians. Boy, wow, I just love Ephesians. I love Ephesians. Ephesians 1, Paul an apostle of Jesus, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints who are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There we see that opening again. And then this one. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And you know what? Let's just stop right there. That's the key. And here's the thought you need to come away from before you continue reading anything else in this book. Here it is. All of my blessings from God come through my relationship to Jesus Christ. All of them. Every one of them. They come through Jesus Christ. Timothy put it this way. There's only one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. That's God becoming human flesh. So you would write that down there. All my blessings from God come through Jesus Christ. That's a theme of the book there. And in Philippians chapter 1, turn there if you will. And I'm just going to read the verse that emphasizes the point now, because I want to get to the other ones. Again, this is review. Philippians 1 and verse 6. What's the key theme here? Confidence. So we want comfort in 2 Corinthians there, grace in Galatians, all of my blessings come through Christ in Ephesians. That sets the tone for the whole book. And then this sets the tone here is confidence. Listen, even if you're suffering, you need to realize God is allowing these things in our life, and have joy. Get joy from Jesus. Take joy from Jesus. If you shift joy onto somebody else, you're making them a god. I'd be happy if you, maybe not. I'd have joy in my heart if you, forget it. We get joy in our heart when we look to Jesus. That's the guaranteed place. And, you know, the old country singer, he's a still a working on me. And that's the thing. We might think God is, at times, the devil tells us, you know, the Lord's just giving up on you. He's not working in your life, not working in your... Oh, yes, he is. And this is a word of confidence, Philippians 1, 6. Let's read it together. Being confident of this very thing. What thing? That he which hath begun a good work in you has decided to stop working. That's not what it says. There's no confidence in that. He says that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to keep energizing you, Philippians 2, 12 and 13. He's going to keep energizing you to come back to God for strength and have joy. That's one of the ways he energizes you, to bring you back to where you know you can have joy is in Jesus Christ, and he energizes you. That's the working he does for you to take joy from him. So some pretty good introductions to the book, right? I'm going a little deeper on a couple of them, but now go to Colossians. Colossians, if you will. And this is our last one for review. Now next week, Lord willing, I'll just jump into where we are, but that's to catch everyone up since we, I think I skipped a week. Okay, good. That's why I'm doing this. Colossians 1, 1 through 6. Colossians 1, 1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren of Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope, that's the confident expectation, which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Excuse me, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. So here is, in the book of Colossians, it talks about the preeminence of Christ. He's the head, but their faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And evidence that they're following Christ, I mean really following Christ, is verse 4, and the love which you have to all the saints. So the manifestation that you are depending on Christ at any given time is what? You love other people. You just love other people. They don't have to earn your love. You love them. You start loving them. And so I love the book of Colossians, the preeminence of Christ. God created the body for him. Don't worry about all those vain philosophies of men. No, Christ is our fulfillment, our satisfaction. And then now, new tonight, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 through 4. Now I'll try to slow down a little bit. We'll take about, looks like we got 10 minutes left. And I'll go as many as these can, so I can see this is already two more Wednesday nights. All right. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 through 4. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you noticed a recurring pattern, by the way? He attributes grace and peace all the time coming from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Here he says again, verse 1 in the latter part, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So what do we have right here? I think we have a thankfulness to God expressed here in verse 2. Thankful people to God make mention of other people in their prayers. I was thinking of many of you today, and I was going through my mind, guess what I was doing? Thanking God for you. Now, this is a formal setting. You know, we try to make it a little more relaxed on Wednesday night. Everyone knows that, right? You've been around a while. But folks, let us just be open with one another and on occasion say, you know, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. And I really thank God for you by praying for you. Now, if we really want to thank God for people, we'll pray for them. We'll pray for one another. Okay? So thanking God for one another, very important, and that shows up in our prayers. Verse 3 actually sets that thankfulness in three different ways. They remembered this. They were being thankful for this idea when they're thinking about the people. Work of faith. Work of faith there is a work that's depending upon God. Hey, listen, folks. If God doesn't help us, we're all going down. Yes or no? That's humility, isn't it? I thank God that you depended upon the Lord. It helped me. That's also comfort, isn't it? When someone else depends upon the Lord, it helps us to depend upon the Lord too. And then this one right here, labor of love. I'm laboring because I love you. Don't you like somebody like that working for you, right? When we love somebody, guess what we're willing to do? We're willing to work for them. It's just the way it is. When we love someone, we're willing to work for them. We're willing to show some degree of love to them through our work. And then, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the long suffering that we endure because our confidence is in the Lord. We're willing to endure certain things because our confidence isn't in ourselves. It isn't in someone else. It's in the Lord. And that's how you grow in patience, because your confidence is in the Lord. So that's really good news. That one opens up there. Okay? Go to 2 Timothy. Now, I'm not going to look at all of them because we don't have time. This is supposed to be one Wednesday night study. No way that's going to happen. So I did skip other books just so I could make it through, and I'm not making it through. But hey, what's the rush anyways, right? So the beginning of 2 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, you have a promise of eternal life? Where do you get it? Well, it's in Christ Jesus. That's where you get it. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Wow. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and guess from who else? In Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Okay, let's just go to this verse. This one is this. Verse 4, I think, is the attitude of the book, 2 Timothy. Yes, I greatly desire to see you. I greatly desire to be with you. Wouldn't that make a difference in our church? Hey, why are you here? Because I wanted to see everybody. I came here to learn about the Lord, but I came here to learn about the Lord with you people. That's the difference. Amen? I mean, I could, there's so many stuff on, you know, bing, bing, bing on my phone and TV, half of that, you know, but I could have just stayed home. But you know what? The fellowship of the brethren, very important. So, desiring, greatly desiring to see thee. Wow. And was Timothy having a few troubles? Being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. Yeah. Timothy was having a few troubles and Paul wanted to be there to try to help him. So, the gospel is what creates that desire to be together. Let me just say this. Now we have programs, and I'm glad that we do. But if we ever get off of Jesus being the draw and we go to just our program, we're going down. We can't keep up with the world. They got too many entertainments. Yes or no? It's true. The draw has to be Jesus Christ because he's the satisfaction of the soul. And I do think the, you know, Tabernacle, you folks, has been doing a good job of that for many years, and we need to stay with the course. Jesus is the draw. He's the life in the church. Okay, that's wonderful. So that's 2 Timothy. Let's go to Philemon. So we skip Titus there. I think I skipped that one because I preached through it already, but look at Philemon. And this one is a soul-winning passage, isn't it? Well, aren't all of them? Well, in degree, but yeah. Philemon 1, 1 through 6, all right? Philemon, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timotheus, our brother, and to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. I don't know if you realize it or not, but many of the churches were started in houses. They weren't really that large many times. Verse 3. Have you heard this yet? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from who else? And the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. And that could have been the heartbeat of the theme. And it is, but this is the expression of it. Verse 6. If you want to be a better soul winner, live verse 6. Here it is. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Next time you talk to someone, you tell about all the good things that are in Christ Jesus that he's attributed to your account, and you'll be an effective witness. Now, if you get up there and start bragging on yourself, telling you how good you are, better than this other person, et cetera, et cetera, who wants to hear that? Nobody wants to hear that. I mean, the truth of the matter is, if you have lived for the Lord, you probably are a better man than or woman than other people. You probably are. But down to the heart of it is, we all got a rotten sin nature, right? And if there's anything good in us, God gave it to us. And so we need to draw all that out and show people Jesus Christ. So an effectual communication is what? Just sharing with people all that you have in Jesus Christ. And of course, that means you've got to learn what you have. You've got to learn what you have in Jesus Christ to share it, experience it yourself, and share it with other people. And what would Ephesians tell us about that? I'm totally forgiven. Ephesians chapter 1 would teach us that we're totally forgiven. This is one of the things I've got in Jesus Christ. I'm communicating one of the things I have in Jesus Christ. I'm totally forgiven of my sins. Totally forgiven. Fully accepted in the Beloved. I mean, I'm fully accepted. These are meditations. Totally forgiven of my sins. Past, present, anything in the future, I'm totally forgiven of my sins. I'm fully accepted already. I'm a child of God. And I'm eternally loved. I couldn't lose God's love if I tried to. I'm eternally loved. That's Ephesians chapter 1. So pretty good stuff for meditations, right? And let's see, we got time for one more? Oof. Okay, Hebrews. Hebrews 1, 1 through 8. Yeah, I'll try to make just one more study then. Hebrews 1, 1 through 8. God, who at sundry or many different times and in diverse many different manners, spake in the past unto the fathers by the prophets. So Isaiah was speaking to Jesus. Jeremiah was speaking to Jesus. Verse 2. Hath in these last days, which was 2,000 years ago when that started, spoken unto us how? By his Son, whom he had appointed to be the inheritor, which heir, inheritor of what? All things. By whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of Al Gore, hath he in him, isn't that something? Isn't that terrible? Do we really believe that man can control the universe, the temperatures? How many years are left, folks? Just one before the election, this November, so the world's going to collapse. We've got it. Here we go again. I enjoy the truth. Yeah, I hear all this. Yeah, we've got at least 1,000 and 7 years left before there's a new heaven and a new earth. Can we get an amen there? It's not going anywhere. The Bible tells me so. So the truth sets you free from all this foolishness. Let's read verse 3 again and see how the truth sets in our heart. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath him by himself, he didn't have any help, by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Who purged us from our sins and sat down by God the Father on the right side? God the Son did, Jesus. He didn't leave it to an angel to do it. He did it himself. By the way, an angel couldn't do it. But in verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Begotten here means resurrected. Just to let you know. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. What angel did he say that to? None of them. And again, that's Psalm 2:7, by the way. 2 Samuel 7:14, Acts 13:33. And verse 6, and again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. So if Jesus isn't God, why did God say worship him? Well, because he's God the Son. And that's what you're supposed to get out of this introduction. Jesus is God. Verse 7, though. We'll read 7 and 8, and then we'll go to prayer. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Who does that? Psalm 104 verse 4. God does that. But unto the Son, he said something else, didn't he? Thy throne, read the next two words, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness, that's how he got it, is the scepter of thy kingdom. He will always say, do, and think that which is right, the truth. And that's an eternal kingdom. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. That's what you ought to get out of that introduction. Amen? So those are just beginnings. So that's why I love those. And, the Lord was just impressing that on my heart and mind. That's how you set tones of books before you read them. So you get out your little pen there, and say, all right, now where's this book going? And then it sets the groundwork for your rest of the reading of that book. All right, how many of you read or listened to Revelation so far? Anybody? Me and Tom, Betty Lou, that's three. Me and Tom and Betty Lou, and how about you? I like that video. So, if you weren't here Sunday, our challenge was, since we started the book of Revelation, for you to try to listen to it, you can go on YouVersion, download the app on your phone, listen to the book of Revelation, take you about an hour and 15 minutes or so. Did you find out that's about how long it took, Betty Lou? How long did it take you?
I wasn't here Sunday, so I listened to you. I thought you meant your message.
Oh, well, that's fine, too. Okay, that might be longer. Okay. Okay, you got it. About an hour, hour and 15 minutes, Tom? Yeah. So I divided mine up in two. The phone rang. Somebody, although I was up at 5 for the first one. I went through 1 through 11 first and then 13 to 22 on the second. So Tuesday I had gone through it, again. So anyways, listen to the book of Revelation before Sunday, if you will. About an hour and 15 minutes and you can do it. Set apart 10 or 15 minutes a day and just listen to it, Listen to it. And ask the Lord to open your eyes to the truth. Because it's not a mystery. There's mystery things in there. It's a revelation of what's going to happen in the future.